Very, very keen to chat to our next guest. He is a very busy man in the wake of Saturday's election, as you can imagine. He played a crucial role in various ways, so we're very lucky to grab him for a very short time. Senator Matt Canavan is on the line. Senator, how do you feel, first of all? It's been quite a 72-hour period.
Oh, look, Gavin, I was pretty tired at the end of it all, as you should be. I've done a lot of travel, and I probably wasn't as used to that as usual because of COVID. Look, it's always enjoy election campaigns. It's great meeting lots of people. We didn't obviously get the result we wanted, so that was disappointing. But as I say, I left it all on the field and did what I could. And look, in the end, you've got to also look at the positives. And we had 9 years in government. I think we've got a lot done in terms of starting dams, infrastructure across the region, Bruce Highway upgrades. The Adani mine, getting that going, that's up and running now, thanks to us and all the support we got. And then now we've just got to rebuild. And we're in a stronger position to rebuild than we normally would be after losing government, largely thanks to Queensland. Warren Inch up there in your part of the world did a great job, always has. And we did not lose a seat in suburban Brisbane or regional Queensland, which is remarkable. Normally when governments change, Queenslanders kick them out, but that didn't happen this time.
I watched you on Channel 9's election coverage. Not a lot of love lost between you and Bill Shorten, can I say, Matt Canavan? That was quite entertaining.
Oh, mate, I was telling you, I was saying that if Bill had been leader, they would have won comfortably on the weekend. I think he did actually run a better campaign than Anthony Albanese. Anthony had a few missteps there, but I mean, obviously we're opponents, and we have a democracy where we should forcefully put different views. I try and do so respectfully and with logic, but I'm not going to be a wallflower either. I believe in smaller government. I believe in lower taxes, and I think the Labor Party policies won't be good for the country, especially right now when we face higher inflation and a lot of challenges in our region.
You mentioned there about outer suburban Brisbane seats, and of course the regions. It's been a big discussion on this show in the last 2 days, Matt Canavan. I guess the future, more particularly about the Liberal Party, but of course the coalition itself. I mean, you look at those results. The Nats did very well indeed, held steady, retained all of your seats. I think you picked up an extra Senate spot as well, I heard Barnaby talking about this morning. Yep. So you guys did very, very well indeed. But what is there a divide getting wider in this country between those sort of outer suburban regional areas, that's city versus country divide in your view?
Look, there is a divide. I mean, in some respects, this has always been thus. So
actually, but is it getting worse, I guess? Is it getting worse?
Well, I think probably. I mean, I was just going to say, I was just by chance reading my children the ACIP fable there, the town mouse and the country mouse, last night. And so there's always been that there's a difference between the city and the country. And look, is it getting worse? Well, I think what's happened perhaps over the past couple of decades, given the enormous prosperity we've enjoyed, is that there's so much wealth concentrated in the cities, and that does change, I think, the priorities and thoughts of people that are lucky enough to be in that position. I mean, I went back to Double Bay last year to have a coffee with someone.
Was it a latte, sort of Senator Matt Canavan?
No, I don't really drink lattes, but I probably had a cappuccino. And I used to go there a bit. I had a good mate who lived just around the corner in Rose Bay, but 10-odd years ago, and I was shocked at the difference in just a decade. It's like a different universe than going to the coffee club in Rockhampton.
Down on the Esplanade here in Cairns.
Yeah, we all drink lattes now. That's not the difference, but it's just the wealth presentation of the police places. And it's in your face. It's like Sunset Boulevard there. So I worry a bit about that. But then again, as I say, you know, the merged, in terms of the Liberal and Nationals as a whole, we're a merged party here. As I mentioned, yes, the Nats did well, but the LNP did very, very well in Queensland, all things considered. In fact, the Labor Party probably may not win a seat off the LNP. There's a close one there in Brisbane that will fall to either the Greens or Labor, but that, as I say, for Labor to win government, but perhaps not pick up a seat, and certainly not pick up a seat in regional Queensland or suburban Brisbane, is quite remarkable. So there's something, we're doing something right up here. And I put that down, I think, to Peter Dutton, and you know, I try and play a role, and Amanda Stoke, who's unfortunately lost her seat, but a bunch of us in the LNP, we do stand for broadly if you want to put a label on it, conservative values. We stand for smaller government. We stand for the development of our nation. We stand for the construction of dams. We stand against a radical green agenda, which seeks to shut down our coal mines and our gas fields. And that, to me, is one of the reasons we did better in Queensland than perhaps other states. Mm. As I've said often in the last few days, yeah, the LNP, it's like McDonald's won't sell health food, right? They can't do it. You know, you're not going to go to McDonald's for a salad. And the LNP can't sell socialism, can't sell high taxing, high regulation policies. And we tried to flirt with that, I think, with our obsession with the Glasgow conference and what have you. You know, we've got to get back to it. If we want a bigger LNP party room, we've got to get behind policies that argue for a smaller government. That's what we're about.
So just on that, though, and you mentioned there that the LNP did, of course, lose Brisbane either to Labor or the Greens, of course, all of those teal seats, teal MPs now in Melbourne and Sydney. Does that mean then that you need to effectively abandon those type of seats? As you say, those uber wealthy. I said at the top of this show, Matt Canavan, some stats, I think it was on the front page of the Oz today, that in Wentworth, of course, which fell to a teal candidate, 12.2% of the population in Wentworth has a weekly personal income of more than $3,000, according to census. And that's five times higher than the national average of just 2.5% of people who earn that much money. So, as you said, the atmosphere down there of wealth is just extraordinary. But does that mean, given you did so well in the regions, in the outer suburbs, do you need to abandon those very, very wealthy metropolitan seats in the capitals?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
But you can't win them back. I mean, the Liberal Party surely can't.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. But how I'll answer your question is, we certainly should not get distracted and have our political platform focused on those seats. Our focus, our central focus, must be on the forgotten people, must be on the quiet Australians that live in the suburbs and regions of our country. If nothing else, because if you do want to win, if it's about that, and that's not what I do most of the time, I try and do things I think are right for the country. But if you want to win, you've obviously got to win a majority of people. And a majority of people don't live in by definition, don't live in the most wealthy parts of our country. So we've got to make sure we don't get distracted on that. But in saying that, I do think we could win those seats back again one day. As I say, you know, at this time in great prosperity, it probably is the case that those seats, the people in those seats, are just a little bit more focused on what you might call first world problems of gender, diversity, climate, etc. If economic times get harder and property prices fall, etc., suddenly there might be a change of focus for people, and including in those seats. So I wouldn't give them up. It's just that they cannot and should not be our central focus. We've got to focus on the suburbs and regions, and we will certainly not beat these new teal members of parliament by agreeing with them. We actually have to have a point of difference. We've got to take them on something about, well, why vote for us over them? If you agree with your opponents, if you surrender to your opponents, you've already effectively lost, and you probably will lose at an election, because people will just go and vote for the real deal, not the pale imitation.
Not the greenwashed party. Now, Senator Matt Canavan, let's talk about the coalition. There's been a lot of, I don't know what the word is, scuttlebutt perhaps in the last 24 hours. Michael McCormack, former Nationals leader, has had a few things to say. Simon Birmingham has been a little bit vague about where he sees the coalition going forward. Look, it is up for negotiation again. I think Barnaby Joyce sort of made that clear. It's a convention that after each election, it's sort of, you know, all bets are off and you sign up for a new deal, a new coalition. Your thoughts on, you know, your views on, you know, climate change and net carbon targets, all of that made very, very clear, which is very, very different from some in the Liberal Party. I mean, what does the future of this coalition look like?
Well, obviously that won't be just up to me. In terms of myself, I'll continue, as I said before, to argue for what I think is right. I think these net zero policies are destroying the world right now, destroying the free world at least. I don't know if you've been to the petrol pump lately, but even after the 22 cents came off, buying a diesel car, that's back up. And I'll just use that as one example. This is just one example of what's happened. But the reason for that is because European countries pursuing net zero agenda have shut down their diesel refineries, and they, until the Ukraine war, were getting most of their diesel from Russia. Russia has a lot of refining capacity. And of course, what's happened since the war is that European countries have sought to wean themselves off Russian diesel, and they're rapidly going around the world buying diesel up from America, from Asia, and that's pushing the price up. That's why you've got that such great gap between diesel and petrol right now. Now, that's just one example, but it is indicative of the fact that when we seek to shut down the production of our own energy, the production of fertilizers, as well as another thing we've done in Western countries, we export our food and energy security to other nations, many of which actually want to do us harm, or are dictatorial thugs, like China and Russia. And now we're paying the price for it. Chickens are coming home to roost for that. And so that's why I'll keep going on this agenda. And I just have that issue as much more important than anything else that's happening. I don't go to Canberra to make friends. I go there to fight for the jobs and interests that I feel are best for Queensland, especially central and north Queensland. That's what I'll keep doing, mate. That's the only commitment I give. In terms of what happens to the broader coalition, well, look, it's a bit out of my hands. I don't know. I see
you
no
are the deputy leader at this point. You are the deputy leader of the
Nats. I'm the deputy leader of the Nats. I'm the deputy leader of the Nats in the Senate. So, yeah, I'm not really in the leadership. I'm not in the leadership group. That position doesn't go into leadership. But we've only got six senators now, an extra one. So, look, I don't exactly know where we'll go on those policies, but I can't see the coalition splitting or anything. We work well together. We do sometimes have different views. That's a healthy thing, in my view, in the coalition. It's one of our strengths, probably one of the reasons we're holding on to a bunch of seats around the country, because we do allow for a variety of views to be expressed. If we're beholden to a particular viewpoint, maybe we'd have a bigger loss than we did.
Do you buy into this view that Barnaby Joyce contributed to some of the pain in those metropolitan seats, certainly as Michael McCormack was suggesting this morning?
No, I don't, because as I said earlier, you know, we actually did adopt, the coalition did adopt the net zero emissions policy. We adopted the policy stance of what I was told would save these teal seats, and it still didn't work. It didn't work because I said, in my view, that we surrendered, and therefore we couldn't really combat and take on. You know, if you think about it this way, we effectively agreed with the net zero emissions goal. We were arguing about the timing. Well, I don't know if you've ever heard of the concept of Fabian socialism. That's effectively what we became. We became Fabian socialists, where you wanted to get to socialism just a bit slower than the Bolsheviks wanted to. And I mean, that's never going to work, and it didn't work. So that's the primary cause of what happened, in my view. As I said earlier, you know, Barnaby's principal job as leader of the Nationals Party is to win Nationals Party seats. And it was a very difficult time to keep all our seats, because we have not lost a seat since 2007. So we had a lot of seats to defend. We had three retiring members, and in an election where we were probably going to lose government, and we did lose government, going for a fourth term is very hard. And to keep all those seats, a remarkable job. He's one of the best retail politicians in the country, and hopefully we keep him around as a resource going into opposition, because he knows he's been there. He's been in shadow cabinet. He knows what it takes to go from opposition to government. And we need people like him around that shadow cabinet table to get us back together, put us into a fighting position to take it up for the people that support us in the next election.
From your own position, Senator Matt Canavan, could you ever see a point where you would agree to some kind of net zero target, whether it was over a much longer time and at a lower percentage rate? Could you ever see yourself coming to that position?
No, and largely for the reasons I've mentioned, but maybe to say something different. I mean, you mentioned going over a longer time. I mean, that's one of the other issues I've got with this whole obsession, is that we are talking a lot, wasting a lot of time talking about trying to meet something in 28 years' time. I find that a dereliction of our duty as members of Parliament, because, quite frankly, what happens in 28 years' time will not be determined by this Parliament. It'll be determined by the people of Australia and the parliaments they elect in 10 to 20 years' time. That's what's going to happen. And
but people do want some long-term vision, though, don't they? Don't people want some long-term vision from our political leaders?
Sure, but setting such a specific target in 28 years' time is just—it's kind of absurd. It's like nonsense on stilts. I don't think it's possible unless we go into massive poverty. But putting that aside, even if I was to accept it, it's you're not going to be in control to get to that precise target. So, what I would say is it's sensible to say, okay, we should pursue policies right now which seek to reduce emissions in the terms of Parliament that I'll be there and that I can do something, and that might put you on a path towards net zero. But to actually obsessively commit to it is nonsense on stilts. Keep in mind that what the Labor Party are proposing to doing is to every year, under this thing called a safeguard mechanism, is to every year cut emissions by a specific amount consistent with getting down to net zero emissions in like a linear fashion. And that kind of restriction to me is what's dangerous, because that ignores what might happen in Europe with Ukraine, what might happen with China and their aggression. There are other things we need to balance off and trade off than rather just saying in 2050, we're going to have net zero emissions, come what may, I don't care what else is happening. I'm really worried about that in the dangerous times we're in.
And the Labor Party's targets are somewhat modest compared to the Greens and the new Teal MPs. So we're in for a rough ride, that is for sure. Matt Canavan, I know how busy you are, and we covered a hell of a lot of ground there. So I do really appreciate your time on the talk show today. Thanks so much.
No worries, Gavin. Have a good one, mate.
That's Senator Matt Canavan. He is Deputy Leader of the Nationals in the Senate. And as I said, he's a very busy man indeed. So we certainly do appreciate his time today. Have you got some thoughts?